Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and we are here with Ruby Gibbs, who's starring in the musical Finding Neverland, which is coming to National Theater on the national tour from February 26th through March 3rd. Ruby, thanks so much for taking the time to join us.
Of course. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited to come back. D.C. is my favorite city in the entire world, so I love D.C.
All right, well, why is that? Before we get to the show, you got to share why you said it's your favorite city.
Oh, sure. Well, my sister used to live there, so I would visit a lot when I was younger, like around college. And it was the first city that I felt like I could feel familiar with and feel comfortable with while not feeling overwhelmed and everything. So to me, at least, like clean and calm compared to New York, where I live now. So it's just kind of the perfect in between big city and, you know, totally doable. I can do Washington for sure, but I love it there.
Well, I'm glad DC is your Neverland.
Yeah, it is. It absolutely is.
Awesome. All right. Well, let's dive into the show. You know, a lot of our listeners, you know, hear Finding Neverland, you think of the 2004 movie with Johnny Depp, which I think itself was based on a play from 1998 called The Man Who Is Peter Pan. So the story's been around a while, sort of the behind the scenes of the, you know, the author of Peter Pan, sort of, you know, Saving Mr. Banks did it for Mary Poppins. We saw Christopher Robin, Winnie the Pooh. You know, we've seen a lot of these lately. Why do you think those kind of stories, in this case, the creation of Peter Pan, why do you think audiences are so into that concept these days of taking the dive, you know, behind the curtain of you know, the seeds that created these things?
Yeah, well, they're classics. I mean, Winnie the Pooh is my favorite. Peter Pan is so many people's favorites, and I think it's because of the themes behind the story. It's the idea that you never have to grow up, and that there's this beautiful place where all is good, and isn't, I think that's what everybody wants. And, you know, could hope for. So I think that it's just really special to go back into a story that meant so much to so many people as a child and then see, you know, this. So the musical still speaks to people on all ages, of all ages. You know, you've got the kids that are completely blown away with the, you know, the story and the magic of it all. And then you've got the adults that are still blown away in the by the magic of it all, but in a different way of they get to kind of see how it all happened and then see how it came together. And I think that that's a really unique perspective on a story that, you know, could be nonsensical. There's, you know, thimbles and acorns and mermaids and pirates and those things you don't see every day, but it's really fun for adults to be able to kind of jump back into their childhood and all of us be in that beautiful world together. I think that's why it's so special.
Absolutely. Well, we've sort of danced around the plot summary, but give us a quick premise in case, you know, in case maybe some of our listeners didn't see the movie or anything. Give us just a quick, you know, the basic premise here.
Of course. So Finding Neverland is about the man who wrote Peter Pan. His name is J.M. Barrie, and he was a renowned playwright in London in about 1903, a little bit earlier as well, historically. But our show was set in 1903, and he's struggling to find inspiration for the next show that he's going to write. He's totally got writer's block, and then he's in the park one day, and he meets this family of a young woman and four little boys. And he's totally inspired by the playfulness and the imagination of these boys. And I don't think the woman's that bad. I play her. But, you know, there's a romance between J.M. Barrie and the woman's name is Sylvia. So they fall in love, and we just kind of create this family. And together we create the story of Peter Pan. And it's quite beautiful. I won't give away the ending, but that's kind of the rundown. You get to see the backstory of how Peter Pan came to be with these four little boys.
Awesome. And so not only the cool backstory and all the characters and the storyline, but man, it's a musical. Tell me about what makes the music and lyrics by Scott Frankel and Michael Corey so special. And if you could, you know, maybe some of our listeners haven't seen it on Broadway as a musical. So maybe just give us a run through of some of the highlights of, you know, some of the songs here.
Yeah. Well, this was written, it's kind of very Celtic and very stylized in a way that you haven't seen many Broadway musicals composed. So there's lots of Celtic influences. There's lots of Irish and English influences. And that's, again, just like not a style that we really hear very much. But it's full of upbeat numbers. It's full of numbers that are kind of sweeping, so they take you through so much of the story in one song, which I think is very fun. It kind of moves the plot along. It's high energy and it's fast paced, but there's plenty of heart-wrenching songs where, you know, you just get to belt your face off and just totally live in that like emotional, really vulnerable moment in the songs. There's the choreography was done by Mia Michaels, who is well known for being on So You Think You Can Dance, a choreographer on So You Think You Can Dance. And her movement is incredibly unique. And again, that's one of the big draws of this musical, is that we've never seen choreography for a musical like she choreographed the show. So put the music and the dance together, and it's completely unseen and unheard of. It's magical, and it makes it so specific to our show, and it definitely encapsulates what Neverland is like, which I think is probably the coolest part of it all, is that Neverland is very specific and just like very unique place in all aspects of the word.
That's cool that Mia Michaels is doing it. Yeah, we of course we remember for her from So You Think You Can Dance.
Of course,
when you're talking about Neverland. I mean, paint a visual, or radio, so paint a visual picture for us of what we actually see on stage in terms of the set and the costumes, you know, paired with that music. Neverland's got to come to visual life, too. So what are we seeing?
Well, so there is a contrast between the life of the actual people in London versus what you see when we get into Neverland. And life is a little bit duller as far as the colors. Everything on this show is incredibly vivid. But in comparison to Neverland, Neverland is the most vivid colors you'll ever see. It's water. It's the most beautiful mermaid costume that you'll ever see in your life. It's grand. Everything is big and over the top, and there's beautiful glitter, lots of lights shining and sparkling. It just takes you into this dream world. But it's so otherworldly. You kind of just take a sigh of relief whenever you get to Neverland, and you feel like you are in this beautiful, you know, nautical world where you've got the brightest red pirate of Captain Hook with curly hair and a shiny rusty hook. So yeah, you get to see your and Tinkerbell comes to life. Maybe not in the way that people would expect, but Tinkerbell is very much in your face and active with the audience. And it's just cool to see how that happens with the magic of live theater.
Now, when you say Tinkerbell on stage, I'm thinking of, you know, Mary Martin, Peter Pan with the flashlight shining around. Is that what we're talking about, or is it another secret you don't want to spoil?
It's another secret I can't spoil, but you will know the second you get into the theater and the second the lights go down, you may or may not meet Tinkerbell, and I'll just leave it at that.
All right, cool. Dish on your co-stars a little bit. Who is our J.M. Barrie, and who's the eventual Captain Hook?
Yeah, well, our J.M. Barrie is a guy named Jeff Sullivan. He is fantastic. He's Canadian. That's probably one of his favorite facts about himself and one of the things I love the most about him. He's wonderful, incredibly talented, incredibly sweet, and he never leaves the stage for this show. He is constantly working, constantly singing and dancing. He never gets a break. The only time, literally, that he goes off stage is when I am singing my solo song. So he works very hard. He carries the show with so much grace and power, and it's beautiful to watch every night. He's done every single performance so far, and that's saying something for sure. And then our Captain Hook is a guy named Connor McGiffin, and he is wonderful, incredibly funny. I don't want to spoil too much, but Captain Hook may play another character in the real-life version of this show. He's definitely inspired, or J.M. Barrie is inspired to write Captain Hook based off of someone that he knows in real life. So Connor actually has the job of playing two roles, and that's really fun to watch him transform in and out of each character during the course of the show. He's the funniest, most over the top. But you know, the thing is that when he plays Captain Hook, he's gotten a lot of people say that everybody in the audience is just really into him. Like all the women are just like really into Captain Hook. It's hard to resist a pirate. So But that's our cast.
I like that. Where everyone's walking the plank for that guy.
Yeah, awesome. They are.
Who's directing this? I know it was. Is it Tony Winter? Diane Paula. She did Pippin, Hair. Was she did it on Broadway? Is she also going on the road with you guys, or how does that even work?
Yeah, so Diane Paulus did direct the Broadway production, and she helped with the first national tour. This is the second time that this tour has been going around. And so her assistant, Mia Walker, who has been there from the very start, was there through all the workshops and all of the Broadway run. But Diane Paulus was involved in casting and, you know, knows who all of us are and has been involved, but kind of maybe from the sidelines. Mia Walker has been the one who has worked with us the most and individually, but she is the associate and the assistant director. So we get quite the magical team, considering that she's been there from the start and knows all the secrets.
Awesome. Well, a few seconds ago, you mentioned that you have a solo song that you get to belt your face off, I think was the actual line. What's that song?
Yeah, well, my song is called All That Matters. I play the mom of four little boys. My husband died last year in the show, and I'm kind of figuring out how to be the mother that I know that my boys need. They need a mom who stays strong and stays positive and, you know, encourages them to play. And it's tough being the single mom of four. So there's a song about halfway through the first act, and it's called All That Matters. And it's where Sylvia is trying to kind of remind herself of who she is, of the strength that is innately inside her, and trying to remind herself, you know, where she needs to go from here. And she can pick between kind of giving up and you know, falling to the darkness, or picking herself up and dedicating herself and her life to her four young boys and to making it a positive one for them. So that is my song. It's beautiful, and it's heart-wrenching, and it's hard to get through every night. I'm kind of getting choked up talking about it right now, but it's a beautiful character. And one of my favorite things about playing Sylvia is she is a non-conventional leading lady. She is the mother of four young boys, yet she's still the love interest, but she's gentle and she's strong. She's powerful and she's vulnerable all at the same time, just as so many women that I, you know, like all women are. And so I feel so lucky to be able to tell this story and show what, you know, a woman is like, the strength and the grace of being a woman and being a mother. And I see a lot of my own mother in the way that I play this character, which is one of the most special things for me, knowing that I've had such great examples of strong female power, you know, leadership and power. So I love playing Sylvia. It's a complete honor.
Awesome. Well, I can feel your teardrops coming down on the
keyboard. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, it's going to be great. I encourage everyone to come check it out. In closing, why should our listeners come on out? It's from February 26th to March 3rd at National Theater. Why should they come out?
Yeah. Every single person, no matter if you are, you know, a tiny itty bitty baby or towards the older end of the spectrum, every single person is going to walk out with a smile on their face and a reminder that there is beauty, even in the darkest of moments, as long as you choose to see it. There's laughs and there's tears for every single person, and you get to see magic happen right in front of your eyes on stage, and you get to kind of be swept away into this world for 2 hours. And we hope that it kind of acts as a sanctuary, that it's just a special place of smiles and tears and laughter for every single person, regardless of age.
Awesome. Well, we can't wait. Again, everybody, it's February 26th through March 3rd at National Theater, Finding Neverland. Everyone go check it out. Thanks, Ruby.
Thank you so much.